Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the night's main event.
Brett Allen.
Well, today on the Brett Allen Show, we are chatting with actor and storyteller Irony Singleton. Man, what a career you've had. I'm guessing, though, most people will connect you to The Walking Dead, the guy who dropped the key into the great forever embedded in pop culture history. But you've done so many things. You're just involved with your industry a lot, helping people out, making change in the business. I follow you on Instagram and TikTok and see you doing these lives and just connecting with people. Thanks for your time. It's great to meet you. I'm excited to chat with you.
It is a pleasure being here, my friend, because I love to run my mouth. So thank you for giving me that platform to do that.
Of course. Well, the big question is, how did you get started in the industry? Where did your career start? The big question is, what drew you into acting and storytelling?
Okay, so I'll start with the big break. And like you said, most people know me from The Walking Dead, but I would have to say, go back a little bit and say many people, because probably as many know me from The Blind Side.
Yeah, so, The Blind Side for sure, yeah.
And so that was the one that opened the door for me. And then within a year of that, I got The Walking Dead and just so many things, other things started happening from that point on. That was 2000. And when it was nominated for an Oscar, and Sandra Bullock won the Oscar for it, rightfully so. So to go back, I started my formal training of theater, which was at the University of Georgia. Go Dogs! Sickle. And after I graduated from UGA in 98, it took me about 10 years to get an agent. So I was a struggling artist, and I was doing community theater. I was doing low budget to no budget movies and what have you. And I decided to write a one man show,
okay,
which is about my life story. Growing up destitute in the inner city of Atlanta, running the streets and selling drugs and living that whole life and having no father in my life, but a mother that was addicted to alcohol, and she was crack addicted as well. And having lost her at the age of 18,
wow,
from HIV complications. So once I decided to tell that story, other things just started to happen for me. And then in conjunction with that, right alongside that, I decided to write a movie, which is entitled White Man, Black Man, Jew Man, based on an old trope, an old joke that we would tell back in the day, white man, black man, Jew man, you know, white man walks in a bar and black man says, you know, that type of thing. And so I wrote it because it has a funny, see how the smile came on your face, Brett? So I wanted to write a comedy, but at the same time, have a message behind it. And the leitmotif of the movie is for us to solve the problems that we have to learn how to communicate with one another. We have to communicate in order to solve problems, not turn a deaf ear to one another, even if we think differently from one another. So that movie, alongside my one-man show, alongside a couple of stage plays I was doing, Brett, got me the opportunity with an Atlanta agency.
Okay.
Shout out to Alan Talent. And also shout out to the Finn Cannons, who the casting director of, they were the casting directors of The Blind Side. And a couple of weeks after I got an agent, took about 10 years to get an agent after college. Once I got that agent, weeks later, I got the audition for The Blind Side, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, that movie is so good. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's just, it was good at the time, but it's one of those movies that, like, later on caught more fire as it began to stream and people could rent movies back in the day. And, you know, now it's I think, on all the time. That was big for you. And I would imagine at that point, after all of the work that you had done prior to that, 10 years as an overnight success, as I always jokingly say to actors, they work so hard to get to that place. And then eventually you get there. Was that moment validating for you and going, okay, this work I've always done is now paying off, or just having continual work regardless of what I saw, was that validating for you instead, or maybe both?
It was beyond validating, Brett, because even the 10 years, and I say 15 years because I started at the University of Georgia doing theater, so I say 15 years to become an overnight success. And it was as validating as it was for me to walk onto the campus of the University of Georgia, a huge institution, one that you can say idolized from a very young age, because having grown up in Atlanta, my uncle exposed me to the University of Georgia sports and Georgia Tech sports.
Oh, wow.
So I loved both institutions equally, but I always had this passion to play football for the University of Georgia. And so when I ended up there at the University of Georgia, it was so satisfying and gratifying because nobody from my background had done anything like that. I'm like, I'm in college, for one, being the first in my family lineage to go to college, let alone graduate from college. So when I found myself on campus, periodically I would have to stop on campus and just take it all in, Brett. And I would sometimes cry because I was so proud of that accomplishment and what God allowed me to overcome. It was as validating landing The Blind Side and The Walking Dead, the Blind Side for sure. It was as validating getting that because I juxtaposed my opportunity on The Blind Side with where I came from and where we shot my scenes. We shot my scenes in a neighborhood that I used to hang out in as a kid. So 15, 20 years prior to that, I was ducking and dodging bullets and all of that nonsense, trying to survive that type of an environment. And then ironically, 15, 20 years later, here I am opposite an A-list actor in Sandra Bullock, shooting this movie, which became like the little engine that could, like you said, it started out. We didn't know it was going to open with 34 million. It opened, the opening weekend was 34 million. We were like, if it does 10 million plus, we'd be like, okay, that's cool. It did 34. It was right alongside, what was the vampire movie? Do you remember that year? It was
Interview with the Vampire or?
Enemy of the Vampire. I know that was years prior to, it was, the vampire movie with, I can't even think of it right now, but that was supposed to be the big box office hit that weekend.
Okay.
And The Blind Side ended up.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'm trying to remember.
Not Dracula. Uh-huh. It was with the young people. They're young now.
Oh, Twilight movies.
Twilight. The Twilight movie. The first one, I think it was.
I do remember that now.
So we were right alongside it. And so those numbers didn't stop. It didn't stop at 34 million. The numbers just kept climbing and climbing. So it was seriously gratifying, Brett, for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you make this movie. It has a lot of success. It puts a lot of eyes on you. Did that then start opening doors? Well, obviously The Walking Dead came after it, but were there other things too that came along your way prior to that? Or was that pretty much like it? After that, The Walking Dead hit, and then that show just exploded.
Mm-hmm. Well, prior to The Blind Side, again, like I said, I had done low budget to no budget movies. And I want to give an honorable mention to my college peer, my college colleague and friend, Haji, who did a movie that ended up going to the Sundance Awards.
Okay.
So I don't want to go without acknowledging that it's called Somebody's. And at Sundance, it got picked up by BET, by Reginald Hudlin, who was the president of BET at the time. Shout out to Reginald Hudlin. Because I ended up later on down the line doing another movie or two with Reginald Hudlin. I just did it. It came out on Disney a couple of years ago, called Safety.
So, yeah, that was a good one too.
You know, so over the years, Reginald Hutton, I would see he would remark about my work. He was like, everything, I see this guy, he's good, he's good. And then eventually to come full circle to end up doing a movie with Reginald Hutton in like 2019, Safety, that was very gratifying. But moving beyond up to Blind Side and beyond, I think that the Blind Side is what opened the door for me to do The Walking Dead. Because like I said, within a year of landing The Blind Side, I got the call for The Walking Dead, and I think Frank Darabont gave me that call because of the, I guess, the popularity of The Blind Side. But okay, in between that call, I did quite a few movies as well, and I did TV shows. I did One Tree Hill. I did Seeking Justice with Nicolas Cage. I did quite a few other movies, A Box for Rob, and, you know, quite a few things. Then The Walking Dead came, and then other stuff after that.
Yeah, that was huge for you and for a lot of people in their careers. Since you've been working long after that, we'll talk about The Walking Dead at the end here, but I do want to ask you, as you work on projects now and do things, do you often, when you get recognized by other actors, maybe who are starting or that you may come across on sets or whatever, do they often solicit you for advice on what you've done? I would imagine they would.
All the time. Oh, yes. Yes, a lot. And I look forward to giving that advice, because I think back to when I was a rookie, a newbie in this game, and I wanted to know as much as I could. What do I need to do to take to the next level? So I wholeheartedly embrace the opportunity to instill and to pour into the up and coming actors, for sure.
What are some questions that they ask you? Like, how do I get an agent? How do I get cast, or is it more of the technique or a combination of the two?
And those two on the periphery, but right in the middle is, how do I get started?
Yeah, that's the one thing that is not out there. I mean, there's acting classes, there's how to audition, there's, you know, a million things, but they don't ever tell you how to get started. Student films is, when I was doing it in New Mexico, student films is where I was told to start. Just get in, audition for student films, because it's free, you get fed, and you get experience of being on a set.
That's great. I'll add that to the list of things.
No, thank you. You're so kind.
So, but what I generally tell people, I say, start, do some community theater too, because that's the best way to, for me, it's the best way to hone your talent, because when you're on that stage for 2 hours, you can't stop. It's unlike film where the director says, okay, cut. Or even if you mess up or screw up, then it's fine because you can shoot it again. The director may yell at you a little bit. What are you doing stopping? What are you doing screwing up? Or something like that, depending on the director. I'm not that type of director. I wouldn't respond that way. But when you're on the stage, Brett, you can't stop. That's the exciting part about it. You got to keep going. So I implore them to, if they don't have money to take acting classes, you don't have money to take acting, because some say, I don't have money, because I don't want them to use that as an excuse. Don't use not having money as an excuse to not pursue your dream. And so I say, go to the theater, audition for community plays and what have you, and you don't have to pay a dime, and they will work with you along the way. And the, if the director is experienced enough, then that director will teach you a lot. And while you're working on that, you may meet other people that it, that could spiral into other opportunities. Next thing you know, you're on the set of a $50 million movie, and you're like, wow, I just started with community theater. But otherwise, it may take a little longer because you got to hone your talent. Start with some acting classes, take some classes, pay the, you know, $50-$100 a class or whatever, take the, get the six week package for a few hundred dollars or whatever, and just start to grow, learn. And then from meeting those people and being out and about, then you'll possibly get other opportunities to be in the mix, you know?
Yeah. Somebody once said, you know, cut out the DoorDash, cut out the Uber Eats, Starbucks, and put that money towards like training and reading plays and just like experience. You know, people ask me a lot about this show and how do you book such great people, present company included. You know, how does it work? And it's like, just start where you can start. And eventually you get to talk to amazing people because you've built trust and experience, and people will start saying yes. again, just so many cool things that you've done. I mean, you've got Safety, you've got The Blind Side. You know, The Walking Dead was one of the most popular shows on television. You made it a few seasons before your character met their demise. If you can share just one experience from that show, I know it's, I don't want to bombard you with questions about that because it's part of your life, it's part of your career. People know who you are, but are there some memories that you have from working on that show, some lessons that you learned that have contributed to your continued success as an actor?
Yeah, The Walking Dead. That was special. And it could never be duplicated. Can never, never be duplicated. And
Ever.
like you said, I went for a few seasons on the show. My character was supposed to die in episodes 2 or 3 or 4. T-Dog was only supposed to be in 2 to 3 episodes. So when I got to episode 6 at the CDC, we were at the CDC in season 1, I started reading my script from the back. I started reading it backwards to see if T-Dog was still alive. I'm like, is T-Dog still alive? Somewhere right around CDC episode 5 or 6. And I see that I'm still in there at the end. I'm like, wow, I'm still in the show. And then so going into season 2, that's how I would read and moving beyond it. And so Frank Darabont, who's the creator of the show, he and I sat right alongside on the street where T-Dog cut his arm. And we had a lot of downtime because Frank had to fly in and reshoot the entire scene. That highway was constructed much differently from how you see it in the show now. You watch the show, it wasn't set up that way. It wasn't closed in enough. It was too open, and Frank didn't like that setup. He'd watched the dailies from LA and he didn't like it, so he flew in and he shot it and he directed that episode himself, at least part of it. And so when they were rearranging the set and everything, he and I sat on the road and we had a heart to heart. I learned a lot about his life story, and I shared some of my life story with him. And he said, "You are doing a fantastic job," basically saying, "You're still alive because of the work, the great work you're doing."
There you go.
And that was so meaningful, right? Because I'm like, we all know Frank Darabont to be legendary, right? Shout out to Frank. We know him to be this legendary director and creator. So it was very meaningful to hear that from him. That was a meaningful thing. Everything that I did with Scott Wilson, just looking in retrospect now, was so special, having lost him, you know, back in 2019. That was a special time. Scott being such a beautiful human, and his wife Heavenly, who has the same name, similar name as my daughter. Her name is Heaven. So those are two standout moments for, well, many. Everything with Scott was just special looking back on it. But he and I developed a very close relationship, as I did with so many of my other castmates. I think it basically, Brett, for me, it just confirmed our solidarity and our interconnectedness as humanity.
Yeah, for
Because
sure.
I talked to them a lot, from, you know, Redis, aka Daryl, to Lincoln, aka Rick, to Carol, aka Melissa McBride. I had conversations with all of the adults, not the kids. And, you know, it made me understand more that we share in the traumas and the tragedies and the successes, the triumphs of life. So nobody is immune to the trials and tribulations of life. And they've had their struggles. And I want even people that are not actors, people that love actors and celebrities, that, you know, we're just like everybody else and just living day to day, trying to get through this thing. We're just given this platform to where we have to make the most of it. Being on that platform, we have to share truth and love to the best of our ability, but we're just like the next person trying to make it in this world. And that's what it confirmed and solidified for me.
Yeah, such a great show. Last question, projects upcoming. I know you have a website where people can connect with you. How do people catch up with you, and what's next for you that you can talk about?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. This book right here.
Oh yeah, Blindsided.
Yeah, Blindsided by the Walking Dead. Again, this is like my one-man show. I tell my one-man show on the stage in an hour, 45 minutes. I tell it in this book in 200 plus pages. So this is the most meaningful work I've done. I've done The Walking Dead, and I've done The Blind Side. They're great and they can't be duplicated, but this is the most meaningful because this contributed to who I am as a person and where I am right now. If it were not for this story, I wouldn't have been in The Blind Side. I would not have been in The Walking Dead. So I always tell that. Sano Health Arm, I'm on the board of an organization, medical organization, that focuses on STEAM, from science and technology, engineering, the arts, math, and medicine. And so we focus on underprivileged young people from high school going into ninth grade up to 12th grade, and we expose them to the arts to make them better. We're actually doing a summer camp in LA, Ontario, Riverside area, to be more specific, this summer, June 24th through that week of June 24th, 25th. So I encourage all young people, if you're in the area, to apply for that. Also, I encourage others, philanthropists, people that mean well, want to make the world a better place, contribute to that. Go ahead and donate. Go to sanohealth.org to donate to that as well. So that is big on my heart, that I just offer that just out of the kindness of my heart and just continuing with my philanthropic work. I have a movie that's called Signing Day that I did with my good friend and colleague and former teammate and Hall of Famer Champ Bailey, who played for Denver Broncos and the Washington Redskins at the time, now Commanders. So we did a movie called Signing Day, and there was another fellow alumni, Glenn Owen, who's the director on that project. Champ Bailey is the producer. I play a shady mechanic. It should come out next football season. It wouldn't make sense for it to not come out around that time, next football season. I have another one that I'm completing, I guess, within the next couple of weeks, we'll finish it up, called Classics Undone. And that's about the classics, and it's in affiliation with my alumni, UGA. So I'm looking forward to that because that's a special one as well. And then go to IMDb.
And yeah, all the stuff is there.
All the stuff is there. And my Instagram, my live, my TikToks. So I do lives there. But go to Instagram because TikTok, I think they're about to shut down. The House just passed the vote to ban TikTok if it does not sell to an American owner.
Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank said he's going to buy it. So we'll see.
Oh, really?
That's what he says.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, Kevin. I see you, baby. But anyways, if he doesn't buy it and it gets shut down, then I would encourage, you know, all of you, please go to my Instagram page. It's Irony Singleton. Just do Google Irony Singleton Instagram, Irony Singleton YouTube, and all that other stuff. Follow me on all my platforms.
Awesome. Well, I'm a huge fan. As I said, I love all of your work, and absolutely. And I just am in the midst of a rewatch of The Walking Dead, started looking at things, saw you. I was like, you know, all the other things that you've done and that I've watched, and I've been following you on social media for such a long time. And I was like, why have I not asked if he can come on? Because I just think you're such a great person, and I love all the things that you do. And I really love your character in that show. I love The Blind Side and of course, Safety. I mean, all the things that you've done, and just really one of the things is just how you connect with your fans and you do the lives and you talk to people. One last question. What is the one question that you get asked the most about what project? What is the one thing I see on TikTok? People are always like, T-Dog, you dropped the key. T-Dog, you died so tragically. What do people ask you the most?
T-Dog, what does Norman Reedus smell like?
That's funny.
How does he smell?
I met him once, right when season one, I think it was season one or maybe season two, Mackenzie Lentz, we met her at a Comic-Con. He was promoting the sequel to Boondock Saints. So it was, or Boondock Saints. Yeah. So again, the question you get asked the most when people talk to you.
It's really, how do I become an actor? And I tell them,
Okay.
I'm an acting coach. I teach acting classes. You can start there. But again, it's not about me getting money from you, because you can do theater, community theater. You can
Yeah.
do student films. You can do the student films now. Reach out to your local colleges and universities. Ask if they're working on anything, or go to their website, Google the university, and then follow that link to their theater department, and you can find something. They're doing something, and they would love to have actors that are willing to act for free.
Yeah, for sure. Community theater is big here where I live in Colorado. Like here, it's just massive. But yeah, student films. I think I was in like four different films at the same time because I was just, they needed somebody, because I mean, they're not paying you. So, and it's great experience to put on a resume. That's funny. What does Norman Reedus smell like?
That question cracks me up. I've gotten it a handful of times about Andrew Lincoln. What does Lincoln smell like? But Norman Reedus a lot. But I also tell people, I said, now, because we're in the age of technology, you have the phone right, and you have a camera right in your hand.
Yeah, I.
Just turn it on and start recording and start acting and get some friends together and start doing some skits. Because I just started doing that recently too. I was like, oh, these skits have gotten people rich. And so it was like, now I have a platform to do that. I said, I have a following, a fan base, or what have you. I said, but this is how you can create some great opportunities just from this phone in your hand. Do some skits. You may be an actor. Go out and find a writer. Go out to your local colleges and get those up-and-coming writers, directors, producers, so on and so forth. And y'all make magic happen and
Yeah,
put it out.
no excuse not to. Like the way that things were once done are not the way they are done now, per se, at least to start, right? Distribution, like it's free. There's YouTube, there's TikTok, Instagram. I mean, even actors that I've spoken to over the years, like have done films for like Snapchat. Kim Coates was saying like they put a show together and it was on Snapchat. All the episodes, it's crazy. So if you're watching and listening, get involved. Irony,
Yes.
thank you for your time. It's been an honor chatting with you, man. Again, I appreciate your kindness and your generosity today.
I thank you, brother. And I want to say this, Brett. My manager brought this to me. He said, are you interested in interviewing with Brett Allen? I looked at it and I checked out your interview with Stephen Ogg. And I said, book him, Dano. The rest is history, because I felt your energy, I felt your spirit, and it was beautiful. And I said, yes, of course, I want to talk to him. So I encourage you to continue doing what you're doing, continue to make the world a better place. Keep this positive energy about you and this bright and cheerfulness and all of that. You are the total package, brother. Wish
Thank you,
you.
sir.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.